Now from the book of Zephaniah, chapter 3, verses 14 through 20. These are the last words of the book of Zephaniah. Sing, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O Israel. Be glad and rejoice with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away your punishment. He has turned back your enemy. The Lord, the King of Israel, is with you. Never again will you fear any harm. On that day they will say to Jerusalem, Do not fear, O Zion. Do not let your hands hang limp. The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. The sorrows for the appointed feasts I will remove from you. They are a burden and a reproach to you. At that time I will deal with all who oppressed you. I will rescue the lame and gather those who have been scattered. I will give them praise and honor in every land where they were put to shame. At that time I will gather you. At that time I will bring you home. I will give you honor and praise among all the peoples of the earth when I restore your fortunes before your very eyes, says the Lord. Let's pray together. Lord, we give you great thanks and praise for your goodness through all generations, for the story of your faithfulness from the very beginning of time, all the way through the history of your people, the people of Israel, and even up until today, through those of us who follow Jesus Christ, our Lord and risen Savior. Help us, Lord, as we wait for the sunrise to come, to give honor to you in our hearts, in our minds, in our voices, in our thoughts, and in our actions. We give you thanks for this day where we can worship you in spirit and in truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We serve a God who operates equally in the past tense, the present tense, and the future tense. We often limit God's activities just to what he has done in the past. Remember what Jesus has done for you. Remember who God has been. And then we apply it to the present. What does it mean for our lives today? What does that old story have to do with us today? We are not so good at seeing God in the future tense. But Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. One of God's key characteristics is his orientation toward the future. He is a God of hope, one who brings life from death, one who sees possibilities when there are none apparent. He is a God who says that something good is going to happen soon. That's the message of this Old Testament prophet Zephaniah, the one that I've just read. If you read the other 2.5 chapters of the book, though, you won't see that optimistic of a message. Zephaniah is kind of a heavy read because God is speaking a word of judgment to all the nations, including his own people, in those first couple of chapters. He's always talking about the day of the Lord coming. The day of the Lord will come and judgment will come on all the nations. But the prophecy concludes with this beautiful description of God's promise of a time that will come. A time when he will bring his people home, when all of their trials of the past will be over. It is such an important message for humanity because we have so much trouble seeing the future, or at least seeing a positive future. Have you ever heard the saying, it is always darkest just before the day dawns? It's always darkest just before dawn. I've heard that saying on occasion, and I looked up into that saying a little bit this week and found that the earliest recorded writing of that phrase comes from about 1650. It's almost 400 years old, that thought, in English anyway. It comes from an English theologian and historian named Thomas Fuller. It is always darkest just before the day dawns. The meaning of that statement is to say that there is hope even in the most hopeless of circumstances, even in the worst times we can have reason to hope. It's supposed to be an encouraging word in a difficult time. But on the face of it, it's kind of a silly saying. It's always darkest just before the dawn. Okay, sure, but we know that sunrise will come. We know that the dawn will arrive. It has come every day for the past how many eons of years there have been. Every day the sun has risen. Why should we need a message of hope when it's dark outside? Of course the sun is going to rise. Of course a new day will come. We get so wrapped up, though, in the dark. We get so wrapped up in the present tense that we have trouble seeing that the dawn is just around the corner. Zephaniah says to us, the day of the Lord will come. So why should we be discouraged or sad or afraid? It's hard for us. It's so hard for us to trust the silence, to wait patiently in the darkness, to know God's perspective on time and on history. Jesus had died just a few days before. It was just a week after he entered Jerusalem with great triumph and celebration. His followers were in shock. They were confused. They were deeply saddened. Everything they had hoped for was gone. Despite Jesus' predictions of his suffering, his death, and even his resurrection, it was a hopeless and very dark time. When Jesus was dead and buried, his disciples only could wait in the darkness. It is always darkest just before the day dawns. That future tense is so hard to see, but that's okay. Because there is value in the waiting, in the quietness, in the silence. We don't need to rush toward the sunrise. We can have patience and wait. Because in that waiting, God is still present. The New Testament doesn't record anything that happened between Good Friday and Easter Sunday. Jesus dies and is buried, and then suddenly it's a couple of days later and he's alive again. But there's that waiting period in between. Friends, don't be afraid of the waiting, the darkness, the silence. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The day of the Lord will come, and it will be good. But in the meantime, we wait. About 55 years ago, 1961 was the year, there was an American author named Norton Juster who wrote a children's fantasy novel named The Phantom Tollbooth. Have any of you ever read The Phantom Tollbooth or know about it? I don't. I only learned about it this week. It's not been a part of my life. I think I'm going to have to look it up. It's a story about a young boy who is bored, as so many young boys and girls get to be, a boy named Milo, who then goes on an unexpected journey into the kingdom of wisdom. And in the midst of his journey into this kingdom of wisdom, he finds himself in a place called the Valley of Silence, where there is a soundkeeper, a lady who has enforced quiet in the whole valley. It used to be called the Valley of Sound, but now the sound became too bothersome for her, so she enforced a silence and made it into the Valley of Silence. She listens all day long for the silence. And she says this to Milo. Have you ever heard the wonderful silence just before the dawn? Or the quiet and calm just as a storm ends? Or perhaps you know the silence when you haven't the answer to a question you've been asked, or the hush of a country road at night, or the expectant pause of a room full of people when someone is just about to speak, or, most beautiful of all, the moment after the door closes and you're alone in the whole house. Each one is different, you know, and all very beautiful if you listen carefully. As we wait for sunrise to come, we sit in a beautiful silence. Soon enough, we will rise and shout alleluias to the risen Savior. But for this moment, in the story of God's salvation, in the story of our lives, we wait with silent expectation. We wait for the one who is the same yesterday, today, and forever to bring our present tense into his promised future.